he got his like pride, self-worth, and everything by how he participated in the community, you know? Like, oh, like, I put on this show. Or, like, I attended this show, and I was turned up at this show, you know? Mm. I did merch at this show. Like, I'm actually... Because a lot of, like, people don't contribute to the culture that they consume from. And he kind of, like, really made it clear to me, like, yo, like, if you love the shit, you gotta participate in it, you know what I mean? In any facet, even whether you're the top dog of it or the, you know, just attending, helping out, picking up, carrying a merch box, you know what I mean? Like, that shit is contributing to the culture that you're energized by happening in the first place. So, like, he was just a
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Example of that for me, you know what I mean? Because there was a lot of, like, that fool worked really hard for not a lot of flowers, you know what I mean? But for folks that know, you know what I mean? Like, to the point that folks that didn't even know him, know.
Yeah.
Meaning you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just goes to, like, if you really care about hardcore, like even like me, like just starting with hardcore, and it's like then getting into other things, like I was like, fuck, I really love this shit. So, like, you know, you pay attention to every little detail, you know, and that's the thing that bothers me. And I've said it, like, and I've been open about it, but I'm not trying to be like with like newer hardcore kids where they're like, so like, oh my God, like this is sick. But it's like, no, you're only like what the top dogs show you. Does that make sense? And I would like go to like 1720 and be like, Gloom Lives. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is that? And like Tim Butcher Forever, and I'm like, what is that? You know what I mean? Like you know, just the little stickers on the on the venue. And then from there I was like, and then I was like, oh well, like what band was Tim Butcher in? And then, you know, fools would be like, oh, like Hell in a Cell, like Minus and all these bands. I'm like, well, like what are these bands? Like, you know, like they're not like, I don't think Hell in a Cell has a single like set on YouTube.
Yeah.
But then like the coolest,
they maybe put out one.
They put one EP. Yeah. But then like the coolest thing was like when like I would hear stories from people who met him, it's like, yo, like my homie, this is the coolest thing. He he just like, I know him. Shout out to Joaquin. I never told him anything. Like, I think he just listened to a podcast.
Uh-huh.
And one day he's like, yo, well, like, come out, like, not my birthday, anything, come outside. And then he gives me this bag, but, like, a Trash Talk record, the Trash Talk zine, and then the Tim Butcher, like, Hell in a Cell, like a cassette. And I was like, yo, like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, yo, like, and he's telling me, like, outside the show, like, oh, like, Tim Butcher, like, I remember that day, like, he, like, you know, not a lot of people showed up to this punk gig that Hell in a Cell was playing. They were too hardcore for them. Yeah. So he was like, yo, thank you for moshing. Here's a cassette. And like him, Tim Butcher's kindness to give him that cassette, and me, like, probably at that point I was like in elementary, you know what I mean, like not knowing shit about life, you know, led to like Joaquin. He's like, you know what, I got too much, like I'm moving, I'm gonna have a kid, here's a cassette. And you probably want, you need it, you like want it more than I do. Like, that's like,
nah, that's true.
That's just
all that. And then the fact that you're even here, you know what I mean, it's like, that's a The momentum that like a one single act does, like that shit, the momentum is kind of crazy how far that energy can continue.
Well, like, and even what you said earlier about Sammy, where like how much you participate, like I think that I want to say like that's a hardcore thing. Like, I think that's a hardcore ethic.
100%.
And the thing that I've learned is that hardcore, it's supposed to be that, and to me hardcore is that, and I feel like most likely everybody would agree. The thing is that a lot of people, like photographers, no matter how good you are, top, bottom, videographers, producers, engineers, or in bands, whatever, you do multiple, a lot of people deep down don't do it because of that. You could be a good person, and I'm not going to name names, but I met people where it's like, you're a good person. You're a fucking amazing, beautiful person, but deep down, you're not doing that for contribution. You're doing deep down for yourself, like, worth. Yeah. Like, oh, I took that photo. Uh-huh. Oh, I took that, or et cetera, et cetera. And there's very few people who actually, like, in reality, and you could see through it. A smart person will see through it.
Of course.
One, like, you know, like...
Well, I mean, some people, you could tell who love the shit and who don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who need it and who don't, you know? And that's something, like, it's hard to quantify that into a specific act or trait, but... That's as simple as going back to real ones know, you know?
Yeah.
Like, real recognize real when it comes to that. Because, yeah, like, for sure, there's a lot of folks, like, man, that's why, like, sometimes me and the homies be joking around, like, even outside of hardcore, but that's, like, in every subculture, culture at this point, sometimes I'll be feeling like there need to be more, a little bit more gatekeeping with this shit. Because folks really be perpetrating with, like, trying to utilize the aesthetic of certain cultures for their own,
like, this is who I am. It's like, no, you're not that. It's like,
exactly, without and by understanding it is one's way of paying respect, and by being ignorant to the whole, like, process is just like, I mean, that's never been the way, you know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of folks, like, get away with that, you know? And, you know, I don't even know the exact word. It's just not cool that be happening, you know?
I hear old stories of, like, fools with tattoos are like, yo, back in my day, like, you know, like...
To get full sleeves, get a full fucking...
Yeah,
full sleeves before you get your legs.
Yeah.
You gotta get full legs before you get your hands tatted. And you, before you get your hands tatted, you had to have your full fucking chest blown out. And then you could get a neck tat. But folks can get a neck tat, fucking little face tat out the gate. Which is funny and crazy now, because I be seeing some young homies, and they be fully tatted, and it's all good now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still, I'm always like, man, who's this fool? Because it's like, y'all, like, in my head, the initial reaction is like, this motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, this, like, really? Like, you're a freak, you know what I mean? You're like...
But right now, it's not like that no more.
Yeah.
Which is all good too, you know?
I mean, like, I got a minor version of that, not a tattoos, but like being like, because when I was a kid, like, right, like, I feel like right before I graduated high school, also, like, for context, like, I stopped going to high school junior year because of COVID.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I graduated online. And prior to that, I was me wearing, like, I wasn't long hair or nothing. I was just, like, I would wear, like, a deathcore or death metal shirt. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, crazy, like, and people would be like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, ugh, like, that's ugly, or, like, why are you wearing that? Like, you know what I mean? People will, like, trip. Like,
yeah.
Like, if it was, like, and it wasn't even, like, it was goofy, you know? It wasn't, like, punk. It was, like, metal.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, you know, like, goofy art, like, you know? So people would trip on that. And then it's crazy because a lot of those kids that I still have on social media,
uh-huh,
once the whole, like, TikTok emo thing went up, the same people, and I have this specific person in mind where it's like, you know what I mean? They're like, now they're, like, typo negative, lip piercing, like, deftones, like, and I'm just like, I mean, it goes like, maybe that's a very minor version of that, and that's compared to the tattoos thing. But, like, it's like, back, like, before, like, being a rocker or being, like, a metalhead or being, like...
Like, straight up, like...
It meant something.
1,000%. And it's just a different day and age. Like, again, I'm 35, so, like, my, like, youth, like, you really couldn't... This is, like, you couldn't speak on subculture, like... movements and shit unless you was outside. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't come across this shit, you know what I mean? Like, you really had to go to shows where you had to find the show, you know what I mean, going on, and then on top of finding the show, like, that's where you learn how to, like, oh, that's how a fool moves at a show.
Mm.
Oh, that's how, like, now folks can go, like, online and, like, before they go to a gig or go to some, you know, like, culture event, like, relevant to that shit, they can figure out the whole style, You know what I mean? The whole, they could try to listen to a couple songs right quick type shit. But before, you wouldn't know the band or rapper or anything you're playing unless you actively had seen them before and physically bought their stuff. And you wouldn't know how folks even got down at the shows unless you regularly went to those shows. You wouldn't even know how to dress at the show unless, like, you didn't get your style until you saw it in person type shit, you know? So it's like,
that's crazy.
That's just a different generation, and for me, I just trip out on saying that because that don't. It still exists like that here and there.
Yeah.
But like, it's just very interesting because a lot of people, there's still these nuanced aspects that you can only know about, like, a movement and shit going on unless you, if you're really outside. Like, you, there's only so much that the phone, TikTok and everything, because that's why I just go back to just the real ones know, you know? Like, it's pretty obvious to tell, you know?
As much as I hate, like, oh, man, I was a fucking kid. I already know you're gonna, you know what I mean? Like, fuck you, you know, you don't know shit. Like, I'm just in my head, like, you know what I mean? Kind of like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I already know, like, you know, you're just here for the clout or whatever. You're just here to take your silly photos and, like, post them on Instagram, you know what I mean? And, like, people tip you or whatever. I'm like, all right. Like, the friendships I've had and, like, the outlet, like, you know, being a kid from South Central, like, being, like, an immigrant, you know what I mean? Like work, like I was telling my girlfriend, like, right now, I was like, I used to work at a fucking factory, like, right here. You know what I mean? Like, I've worked like at 3 warehouse factories around here.
Yeah.
And like, yo, like, knock on wood, but like, in 2 weeks, I'm going on tour, like, for the third time. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a beautiful, like, you know, it's like as much as like I could get mad and sit down and be like, fuck this thing, fuck this, like, you know, why are you here? Like, you don't care about it. It's like, damn, the things that hardcore has given me,
yeah,
like the opportunities hardcore has given me, like. Like, you can't, like, I will, like, I don't know, just, like, you can't really, you know, it's, like, it's a beautiful thing. Even if I didn't go on tour, like, the amount of friendships I've had, you know what I mean? The amount of, like, dude, I feel like I've known you forever type feeling, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, like, you can't put a price on that, you know what I mean? You can't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not just hardcore, because hardcore is a mentality, you know, like,
of course,
like,
yeah.
You know, because, like, then, like, in hip-hop, like, you know, like, liking hip-hop, liking.
No, but I'd say, I give a lot of credit and hats off, like, respect to the hardcore for sure as like an epicenter for a lot of these other movements getting the juice from, even if they don't know it, because a lot of like even within hip-hop, folks aren't really hip to like hardcore unless they are within proximity to it. And I'll keep it a buck, I wouldn't know what I know unless I just happened to be in proximity to it. I happened to be in proximity to it because I lived with Butcher, Sammy, and Lee and kicked it with Trash Talk for like the last 15 years, you know? Like, I wouldn't have. I grew up listening to alternative music here and there, but I was always listening to rap, you know what I mean? And hip hop at the end of the day. But they bridged a lot of gaps for me. Or hardcore music bridged, like, it spoke to me to where all the shortcomings that hip hop has, like, it kind of like.
What are some shortcomings? Like, what are?
Well, in my opinion, hip hop and punk are, they were on the same parallel path, and then
as history goes,
in just like energy,
okay,
ethos, like the tenets of it, just like fuck the man. It was kind of awesome. Like, do this shit with the least, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Your energy is like,
speaks,
is like disorder, you know, okay, what I mean? It's like rooted in disorder. And, you know, obviously the aesthetics here and there were different, but for the most part, there's a lot of the same aesthetics, you know? But then at a certain point, kind of like commercialism took, I mean, both genres, obviously, but hip-hop earlier than, like, punk and hardcore, it kind of took it and went one, because hip-hop was on, like, you know, it was like the heavy hitters in hip-hop was on some conscious, you know what I mean, free thinkers and, like, jazzy type shit, and then, like, somewhere along the lines, the record labels were like, actually, no, we like to portray black people as dangerous and gangsters, not as wise. And we don't think the world wants to see them as wise, intellectual people. I think the world would rather see black people as this monolithic gangster. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's it. And then, you know what I mean? Like on a wider scale, you know, that reflects society and shit. But like to me, back to the shortcomings, like hip hop has had like been in this, like, I don't want to say identity crisis, because it's obviously it's pop at this point. It exists in pop, but that is it has divided, and because like just like any genre, like there's so many sub genres within hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, and what I don't like about where hip hop has gone is that it caters to like, how valuable are you to selling a product, you know? So I'm like, I feel like some rap artists and hip hop artists don't even realize it, but they be like, they be getting, they damn near be, their song, like, it's almost like if we can't put your song in a Sprite ad, it's probably not gonna be, like, it's not,
it's not good.
It's not good. It's just not good. It's of no value to the bigger picture of the culture. And I think a lot of hip hop and rap has subscribed to this idea that, like, unless you can sell a lifestyle, or make a soundtrack for a lifestyle that is expensive, then it's like not worth it. You know what I mean? And obviously, like, the hardcore ethos, I think that like fill in the blanks of those shortcomings in hip hop are more just the aspect that the shit that's kind of the best is the shit that's made with the least. The shit that's kind of like the realest is the shit where there's the least cameras. The shit that's like, you know what I mean? Just like, it's kind of just like all these little opposites. Like, there's like rap is like seeking, and all the many artists in rap, they all are kind of like seeking validation from like white America still. You know what I mean? Not white America, but you're like that, you know?
You're not.
And I feel like hardcore, it isn't catering to that. Obviously, there's like, you know, a huge white demographic within hardcore, but they're not catering to like the general like status quo, I think, of white American society terms, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Damn, man. No, you're like.
And that's only, like, I mean, like, that's only touching on a little bit of it, but like, and that's just me just trying to think of it off the top of my head, but like, yeah, you know, like there's, for me, I really try to like navigate that space, you know, where I say there's shortcomings, I really try to navigate that space and not take energy, but like, I'm influenced by these very organic, like, subculture movements that aren't seeking validation from, you know, these gatekeepers and the people, you know, like, responsible for pushing the needle forward and allowing for opportunity to happen. Like, because my whole mindset is always just like, how can I, what's the least amount of people I could have paying attention to me, supporting me, that will allow me to live the way I want to live? I'm not looking for huge numbers. I'm looking for like, can I get a hundred, like, can I, if I had 100 fans, what could I do to have them support that would like take care of me financially living? And like, that's the type of mindset I'd be having, and I feel like that's like akin to a hardcore following, you know what I mean? Where it's like,
exactly,
because I don't even think it's as simple as less is more, but kind of, you know, and for lack of better words sometimes, you know, like, and that's the mentality I be having. It's like, I keep saying the word validation. I think that just lately has been coming up in my life, but it's more, what can I do? I've always taken pride on I've like tweeted this a bunch of times and shit, but it's like, what does your shit look like without the big budget? You know what I mean? Because like when you have big budgets and shit, it's easy to look. It's not, I'm not gonna say easy and discredit people's work, but it's a lot easier to make your shit look right.
You can't buy style at the end of the day.
But exactly.
You can't buy.
But when there's no budget, it's all dependent on style, energy, and like, you know, actual
heart. You're not hiding behind anything.
Exactly. There's no costume to it. So it's like, what are you doing at that point? Like what? And that's where creativity really exists, you know, in that space, you know, where it's not energized by like a costume, and it's not energized by like high powered marketing teams and all that, you know. So,
and I mean,
but that's obvious, you know. Like I'm preaching to the choir with that, but I think folks just need to be constantly reminded of that, because even within art, I think artists forget that too, you know. So you gotta remind yourself of the big obvious fuck the man, you know, reminders here and there.
And like going based off what you said, like, I mean, it's like kind of like a byproduct. Like the one thing I love about like just art, yeah, to put it bluntly, like music, everything, is like I get to like see who you are.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, it's like, that's why like sometimes a lot of people get like weirded out when I ask personal questions on this podcast, but I'm like, in reality, I'm just trying to like, I'm going based off your art. And you know what I mean? It's not like I'm just like poking you just because I'm, you know what I mean? Because people are like, oh, what the fuck, you asked that? And I'm like, yeah, like, I want to know who the person that I love this art so much, or that I respect or admire,
yeah,
is. But that being said, I think a lot of artists, or a lot of people, like the internet, like, it's like you can know everything, you can have the biggest passion, but you don't even know who you are. You know what I mean? Or like you don't even pay attention, like who, what your life, or like, you know, like it's like you can't just make, you like, there has to be some sort of like, maybe it's not always going to be conscious, and maybe subconscious at times, but you gotta have some sort of like know your personality. You know what I mean? You can't just be some guy, some kid, or like, well, I want to be this, and like, I'm gonna start rapping, I'm gonna start playing punk music, and I can write the hardest riff.
Yeah, because the aesthetic is in itself just the costume, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it really is just like, and at this point, you know what I mean? If you see me on the street, or if I see you, you could be a fucking, you might just be a pop producer for all I know, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like at this point, the aesthetic is so blurred at this point, you know what I mean? That you have to do more than look the part, you know what I mean? If you want to like be a part of a scene, or like contribute to a scene, like just at this point, everyone kind of dresses, it's kind of like genreless the way people dress at this point, you know what I mean? So it's like, when it comes to like contributing to a community or a culture, like, yeah, I mean, that was always just some poser shit to just look the part, you know what I mean? But now I think more so than ever, because you gotta like, the fool that raps the hardest in a room might look like a fucking, you know, just like a little scrawny little kid wearing skinny ass clothes and like, you know, dressing like a chick or some shit, you know what I mean? Like, and that might be the best rapper in the room, and it's like, I like that aspect of where culture is at right now. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it do put emphasis on your personality and your character. And I think it, like, because there's more emphasis on that, we're just seeing, I don't want to call it like new characters, but yeah, kind of. Like, I feel like all across the board, there's new type of characters all across the board, you know what I mean? Even whether it be Asian, like more Asian hardcore kids, you know what I mean? Like looking buff, like Speed looks crazy, you know what I mean? Like that's a, like that I only seen like East Coast hardcore dudes looking like, you know what I mean? All fucking buff and fucking ripped and shit, looking like hard body. Like now that shit's in Australia, I'm fucking
Asians in Australia.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, it's trippy. Like,
well, the thing also that's sick with the internet is that Like, now the people really decide what's popular. Because before, it's like the industry will only push this on, this is all you will see. And not just like in major labels, but like even hardcore. Like, it's like, oh, the people who, like, you know, move everything, the puppets, we say what band gets put on, they choose, like, we're going to put this band on this lineup. Yep. Now it's like, Sounding Fury, you know, it's like, yo, we fuck with Speed. It's like, well, but they're on the way in Australia.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, that's like over there. Like, what about here? No. We want Speed. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, or like even Big Boy. Uh-huh. Like, it's like Big Boy, I don't know, to me was like, I remember like a couple months ago, I saw them like, whatever. I saw them like with very little people, and people kept showing up, and the shows got bigger and the shows got crazier. Uh-huh. And it's like, and Brandon wasn't out there like, you know, like shaking hands or anything, or at least what I'm seeing. He's a very polite person and will talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yo, people want Big Boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, there is no like, you know what I mean? It's like, there is no more hiding, like, oh, this is the artist that we're going to push. And there is, you know what I mean? It's like, people fuck with you. Yeah. And people are going to repost your shit. And people are going to, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that's what I like about this.
Nah, it's cool. Straight up. Like, the playing field is even. That's why I'm going again just to that, what I was talking about with the shortcomings of hip hop. To a lot of people in hip hop, success is still like MTV success. Mm. Or like, you know, top five all time. Of course you won't be the greatest of all time. Like, that's kind of a cool aspect of rap, is that it's very like sport orientated and like trying to be the GOAT.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, I also consider that a shortcoming for a lot of people, because the goal is to only be in this like upper echelon conversation about who's important or who's successful or good. People look at like, okay, how do they get up there? Oh, they get up there by doing these things. And then so instead of finding their own voice or finding their own character or finding their own actual personality, they just use the blueprint of like what already exists, which obviously is always going to be the case. But too many people don't go outside the lines of that blueprint. So then it doesn't allow for new variations and like just exciting new like characters in the hip hop scene. So because it's like, it's so based off of like following blueprints rather than like breaking outside the lines. And then that goes into like the aspect of, in hip hop, it's either like there's very underground scenes and then there's like upper shit, but there's not a lot of gray area. And I think that's where hardcore is cool, is that it embraces that gray area in between. You know what I mean? More so than just, because there is top dogs, you know what I mean? Like, Turnstile still gets love from folks, you know what I mean? Like, even if you only are paying attention to like the newest, hardest, like, shit that nobody knows, you know what I mean? Like, you still could have there. So it's like, I think that's where hardcore is in a cool place, because forever is because it look at the whole spectrum rather than just like top dog shit.
Unlike rap, I feel like, well, rap is obviously bigger than hip hop. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody follows that blueprint, and it gets messy. You know, it's kind of like a tunnel. If you push up too much people through one tunnel trying to get that, uh-huh, it's like you're just going to get too packed. Hardcore, same thing. Except the hardcore, you know, as you may know, it's like, goes faster. You know what I mean? Like, everything, like right now, everybody's doing the dun dun, you know, like the chugga chugga. And I'm pretty sure that's happened like five other times, you know, like in the last like 10 years, where like, you know, then probably, who knows, in the next year, Youth Crew is going to be big again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like hardcore punk, like, mm-hmm, Bass Trash Talk Ceremony shit is going to be popular. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, the way I see it is like, just how everybody could follow the blueprint to rap, people are like, oh, Speed.
There's cycles.
So, yeah, like Speed is popular. Okay, we're gonna start playing like heavy shit.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts playing heavy shit, which is what I'm seeing. And then guess what? There's gonna be that band that does it, that is like, yo, fuck this, we're gonna play really fucking fast.
Yeah,
that you're gonna be like, you don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh shit, this band is the new big thing. Yeah. And then everybody starts playing fast. And mm-hmm, I mean, it's just, that's a beauty thing. It could be a a bad thing, but it's also a beautiful thing. It's just like, just try, like maybe in the moment you're like, fuck, like, because sometimes I'm like that, I'm like, fuck, I want to hear some fast shit. I'm tired of hearing like spin kick shit, which is cool. Yeah. At the beginning I was like, fuck yeah, but then I'm like, okay, I don't want to hear this anymore. Like, yeah, yeah. I'm tired of like everybody crowd killing.
Breakdowns and
yeah,
shit.
I want to hear fast
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
And then, but I'm like, okay, like in the long run, I'm going to remember and be like, damn, remember when everybody was like doing the uh-huh. the chugga chugga shit? And yeah. it's like, and then it goes on and on. You know what I mean? And cool. that's just, and then yeah, like every big hardcore band. Like outshines and you know like a big crazy diamond like the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about your childhood.
Yeah.
You're first generation Filipino?
Filipino, yeah. First generation. So my dad's born and raised in San Francisco.
Okay.
But my mom was born in the Philippines, and when she moved to America is when she met my pops. And my pops, yeah, that's when they had me. So that's first or second generation? That's second generation then, yeah?
No, you're first generation. It's always like like for example, me, I'm an immigrant, so I'm not first generation because I'm immigrant. So when you have a first kid, it's first generation.
I see.
Yeah, so then, yeah. So, yeah, you're pretty, well, your mom, you know, your mom's Filipino.
Yeah.
So explain to me, because I don't know, like I know the whole reason why a Mexican would cross the border, but why would a Filipino woman come to America? Was it like hard over there? I mean,
it's taken me a little bit to understand even Filipino culture, to be honest. That's kind of been something I paid attention to more in the last 10 years of my life. To be honest, not all Filipinos, but a good majority of Filipinos lack Filipino, like a quote-unquote Filipino identity, because a big part of life in the Philippines, there's a huge financial disparity, and my mom and parents, they grew up like not in the middle, but like more well off than the deep poor, because it's like folks can be really poor out there, you know. And within that class, especially from...
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Like the 40s until maybe till modern day Philippines, where it's just starting to change up now, the goal was to be white. And a lot of people, so for that, in the Philippines, like, the goal was to get to America, you know, because it's like, there was a promise to it. And that's how my parents ended up, or my mom and her family ended up in America, was, you know, whether they'll say it or not, was a part of that, like, following that promise of, you know, that I think most Filipinos over the last few generations have subscribed to, for in a sad way, basically, you know, like in my opinion, just in my life, like I'm saying, just in the last 10 years have I seen people actually been like, nah, fuck that. Because up until then, everyone was kind of just like, yeah, like Filipinos, like, let's, like, we don't have, because without getting too into it, the Philippines was extremely colonized over the last 100 years, to where, like, you know, folks were getting punished for representing certain religions, tribes, like, to the point where Filipinos were buying like bleach soap to make their skin less dark. And so there's a lot of like fair skinned Filipinos at this point, or over the years there have been, even though they're naturally dark people because of, you know, it's such a tropic area and they get so much sun. But just a big part of Filipino identity has been stripped through the process of colonization. And I think I'm a direct lineage of that, because basically my parents came to America, and you know, they met in Los Angeles, and we grew up. I was born out here, and I lived out here until I was the age of 10, and then I moved to the Bay for a good chunk of time. That's where I spent a lot of my formative years, was up in the Bay. But basically, I was lucky to find, like, basically, I want to say hip hop and just like going to like local punk shows and shit, because that is where I just realized, because at that point my parents had moved us to Marin County, which is like a suburb essentially of the Bay Area, and it's a lot of white folks. But my dad, we moved there because my dad got a job up there at some golf course, because he works in the food industry. And it was the first, it was like I was surrounded by white kids, and I knew shit was different, you know what I mean? Like, I knew, I felt completely, I didn't identify with what was going around with me, and I didn't, I looked different, you know? Folks would come to the crib and say, the crib smells weird, because my mom would be cooking dishes that smell good, but yeah. They'd be saying shit smell weird. And so a big part of, again, tying it back to just my identity and like where I am now, was like this realization really early on that my being Filipino was this, like, was this battle with what you actually are to like be comfortable around the people, your environment, kind of, you know, whatever it may be. Because like on the flip side of that too, I only resonated kicking in with the black kids and people of color, and then for the longest time as a kid, I wanted to be black. You know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of like how I started getting into rap as a kid, was because I just didn't want to be Filipino, because Filipino just felt, never felt like
what is, like, you didn't even know really what being Filipino is.
Exactly.
So you knew, you clearly knew what a white kid is, what a black kid is.
Exactly.
But all these things that are very bold, but being Filipino is, exactly, not a bold thing.
And all I knew about being Filipino was that it smelled weird, you know? Mm-hmm. It, like, when folks came over, it smelled weird. Or when, like, different aspects of the, like, when my friends met, like, an auntie or some shit, like, they'd be like, why does she talk weird, you know? So I was just, yeah, like, any aspect of it, I was like, it just became almost this involuntary stigma of mine. So that's where I try to seek identity in other things. And oddly enough, like, luckily I got into rap and it just like, and hip hop, because a big part of the ethos that I subscribe to was this concept of like knowledge of self and like really knowing oneself to like know one's worth in the world. And that's kind of where my journey began, of being like, oh shit, like, you can't fake the funk, you can't front with this shit, like, you gotta actually be what you are and take like your story and circumstances, and that actually be your, like if you're playing Street Fighter and you got like a special move and shit like that, you can't choose the special move of like other players. You gotta use your special move. You know what I mean? Like, and that is like that's a weird tangent, but lately I've been looking at everything through like Street Fighter shit for some reason. Like, what's your character on Street Fighter shit? But like lately I've been seeing like, oh, like your strongest asset is really like that. Those aspects of your identity that, like, you are just undeniably you, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't get to change it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that covers childhood. It's such a broad topic, but that's kind of like a contour outline of the general aspects of my upbringing, you know? It was like, it was being, like, you know, a pretty well-off, decently, like, you know, middle class Filipino kid, but lacking identity and finding it on these fringe movements, you know, outside of like what was normal. Because the kids that like in the community that I was like going to high school in, the type of kids they were like, it was like lacrosse kids that loved, you know, was listening.
They're like white kids.
White
no
kids.
Offense, like no, the white people. Up, but yeah, they're like,
it was like white kids that was doing playing like lacrosse and shit, and I was just like, what the fuck is this shit? And it was kids that like, I'll keep it a buck, I couldn't even tell you what they were listening to. I feel like they weren't even listening to music. They was like that white to where they didn't even like listen to music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mess with people that's just like, they're too white. That I'm like, you're soft. Like, like there's no scars in your body. Like,
exactly.
Like even when like you know, like when you listen to like heavy music, you're just like, or like when something's hard, I feel like you can't even do that because you're just so like, like hello, like, you know what I mean? Like it's like
you have nothing to fight against. There's no dog, there's nothing for you to like, you've already like accomplished everything without even accomplishing anything, you
know? I used to be so pissed at that, like I still am, like since like there's some of those kids that come into hardcore,
of course,
and I'm like fuck, like I'm so like, it's like we're not the fucking same, you know what I mean? Like I'm out here like usually like hardcore is like, you know, I'm like me and my girlfriend, like, you know, she comes from the same neighborhood and everything. Like it's like we're, you know, these Mexican kids are like never fucking had ramen until like
this is your fucking escape. This
yeah, and then you're out here like you just, like, you know what I mean? Just like, I don't know, like you got it like that. You know what I mean? It's like you like, oh, FYA is announcing a show, or like I'm gonna fly over there. Yeah. And it's like, bro, like I'm out here like trying to get people together, let's go on a van, let's go. Yeah. And I'm like, but I'm like, I realize it's like I'm lucky. Yeah. Like I'm hella lucky. Like I'm hella lucky, and it's come a lot. Like, and I'm glad I'm realizing this now that I'm still younger and I'm not doing a bunch of dumb shit like pretending to be like, or to like escape that. But I'm like, yeah, I'm lucky. Like a lot. Like, and it goes with what you're saying. Like, being Mexican is hella bold. It's a bolder, like, you know what I mean? People like want to be like brown pride, like Chicano, like people like it, also being in America, the line's so blurred with like people's like see Mr. Cartoon and like Esteban Oreo and like that, like Chicano, like, you know, like graffiti, like you know, like they see the Chaka video and then they're like, oh my god, this is what a Mexican is in America. Yeah. But then they also think like Chalino, and I'm like, that's two different worlds, that's two different things. Like that's like, for those who know, like, and like it, even then it's like fools in Mexico, like it's the same thing, they want to be white. You go to Mexico, like, and I've gone to school there, so I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Like, I hate that, like I go to Mexico and kids are like, listen to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like reality, kids are listening to hip hop here, The Weeknd.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like, that's what they think white kids are listening to here.
Yeah.
But then you go to here and kids are like, I'm Mexican. I'm like, no you're not. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, anyways, I was like, I'm lucky enough that I'm like, yo, I'm born in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I still got a lot I have to fight every day.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, being illegal, essentially.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I've lived there, but I'm also well-educated in English. Like, I still work with, like, paisa ladies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, you guys, like, a lot of wish you guys could be me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sounds crazy to say, but I'm like, a lot of people you wish, like, you guys were like, yeah, you have the shade of brown. And it's like, sure, that's one thing, you're brown, but I'm like, you're not Mexican.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know how to speak Spanish well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't know all this, like actual, like, you know, like, fools be like, Zeddy, or, like, you know, it's like, it's like, you go to Mexico, people don't talk like that. You know what I mean? It's like, or fools wearing, like the hairnet. I'm like, to me, that's like, I feel like that's embarrassing because, like, I feel like they came from working at a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I wear a hairnet to this day, and people will probably think that's cool, but I'm like, no, I wear a hairnet because I work at a fucking, like, kitchen. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, but you wear a hairnet for a style that you're brown.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, we're not, like, it's like, shout out to Spencer from Fresh Life. He always, he still that to my head. He's like, we're not the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a very, that's a term that sometimes I think I get mad at seeing other people. I'm like, we're not the same.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, and so how does a kid well off in the white sea goes to live this crazy life and live with Tim Butcher, Sammy Winston, Lee Spillman at a warehouse?
Well, luckily at that time, I mean, have you spent any time in the Bay Area?
I've been there like a couple times, not that much.
I'm really fortunate to, like, the Bay Area is like an amazing place. Like,
I want to live there. That's a goal of mine. I want to like move over there for a year or something.
I'll say it with no hesitation. Like, I am from the Bay and LA, and I'm very, very proud to have that Bay aspect in the equation. Just as proud as I am as having the LA aspect, and I've genuinely have my life in 50% both places, and I go back and forth regularly because it's like a part of who I am. But I think a huge part of, you know, like that transition of being in this weird suburb of the Bay to like where I am, you know, in the last like 10 years has been luckily because in Cali, you know what I mean? Just in the Bay and LA, like
the two greatest parts of California, of the greatest state of the U.S.
You are in the closest proximity to these, like, so if you don't fuck with like your immediate environment, you don't need to go very far, you know? Like, imagine if you was like a kid like us that lived in like Wyoming, like to get to like find your shit, like, you know, there's gonna be some local shit maybe here and there, but maybe once a every 3 months, yeah. Or otherwise you and the homies gotta get in a van and drive to Chicago or some shit, which is like 15-16 hours away. But for me, all you had to do was sneak out at night and fucking go to a show like in San Francisco, which was like a 10-minute bus ride, or, you know, in LA, like the same type of situation. Like, you could find your shit. And for me, like, that was in San Francisco and Oakland when I was growing up, like, because I got really passionate about like participating in the hip hop scene, you know? Like, I really like on some shit, going back to what we were saying with Sammy, where it's like you got hardcore gives a lot of people self worth and shit, where they don't feel self worth from the world because it gives them a place to where they can contribute and be of service and get they worth from that. I got my worth from that. Like, I would go to local events and, like, you know, not only would I participate as somebody that would like battle rap and do like spoken word poetry at it and shit, but I was also like helping folks set up events, you know what I mean? Like, I was going to the Gilman to like, you know what I mean? Like,
wow, man.
Help out and shit like that. So it's like there's these little fringe, these little scenes on the fringe that I got to participate in, and where I just learned most of the ethos that like exists to this day. So like that was a good chunk of my formative years, which led to me ultimately, you know, doing my own music and doing my own show, setting up shit in the Bay Area for a good duration of time. And, you know, the one sad part and downside to the Bay Area music and culture scene is that it very much so has its ceiling. And Bay Area people are so prideful that they can't really see the bigger picture outside of the Bay. A lot of kids from the Bay will be like, fuck LA, or like, whereas like, I don't know a lot of people in LA that say fuck the Bay, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people from the Bay is on some like fuck LA type shit, and that again comes from this like lack of open-mindedness to believe that you can get some sauce from other parts other than just your immediate environment. So after being a part of the Bay Area music scene for a good duration of time, from like high school to like when I was like 21, 22, I just felt like there was a ceiling, you know? I was like playing the same spots, the same amount of people were coming, and all of it was cool, but like there wasn't like a lot of like enthusiasm for between even myself and the people that were participating. I was like, I need to go like just make my world a little bit bigger in regards to this music shit. And, you know, obviously everyone knows that there is opportunity in Los Angeles when it comes to like participating in art, music, or culture, yeah, in general. Like, that's like a fact. Just people in China know that, you know what I mean?
You wanna swim, you kind of swim in LA.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what brought me back down here in 2010. And, you know, I was just like, I'll keep it a buck. That's when I was working with the Hundreds and working with streetwear brands. And outside of music, like, streetwear was kind of like the punks of the fashion industry, you know what I mean? And like clothing and shit. So it's like my come up came from my associations with like streetwear and shit, like a lot of it, you know what I mean? Because I put out music and then Bobby would post my shit.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I saw the videos. Yeah. Yeah.
So like I would have a release of some sort, and these the top dogs within streetwear would support. And so a lot of my early fan base came from people that paid attention to streetwear and shit, which isn't far off from like a hip hop fan base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was like specifically like a lot of it was more from that than it was from like from a hip hop fan base and shit. And that's what's cool, because that allowed me to like become a factor, because otherwise I don't think, as a Filipino, I don't think it's hard to take. I don't think people are accustomed to taking a Filipino seriously within hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, they obviously have a place and they participate and they consume it, but as an alpha figure within hip hop, it allowed me to like get that, be empowered.
Were you purposely like, I'm gonna play the alpha role, or would you say like people gave you that and be like, oh, that dude's trying to be alpha?
I kind of go in and out, you know, because I feel like everybody need to be tap into that alpha energy to get out of their own head, you know, because by nature I'm a timid person. Like by nature, like I'm like, no, you go first.
You gotta have that stop being a bitch mindset. Exactly. Like, you gotta tell yourself that.
100%.
And if you're just like, hey, oh no, it's okay, like, you gotta, it's like, no, it's not okay, go do that.
Actual factual. And I'll attest to that all day, because again, like, by nature, and this goes back to being Filipino, you know what I mean? For me, and just being Asians, it's kind of like, you kind of like, as an Asian, your role is almost in service to other people's greatness. You know what I mean? So I think there's some deep-rooted shit in that.
I mean, not to be like stereotyped, but like I feel like a big Asian thing is like respect.
Of course.
So you can't be like,
you have to subdue your actual
nature. Yeah, it's like calm. You know what I mean? Like
diminish your nature for the sake of somebody else's.
Yeah.
Brilliance to shine. So whatever, for me, I was very empowered by like, oh shit, like when I am like tapped into, I'll even call it the fucking like avatar, when I'm tapped into like myself as Spit, you know what I mean, and finding pride and being like that name, just Spit, like it shit is hard, you know what I mean? That's like I got that name Spit basically because I had a bar like in high school where I said some shit like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Spit, like some weird goofy ass bar, but everyone started calling me Spit after that.
Yeah.
I just took, like, to me,
well, people saw you wanted to be that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, I'm a put energy and fuel that, not even persona, but just that aspect of me that is like maybe my realest self, you know what I mean? The one that like I don't get to show because it's subdued by society terms and shit like that. So I had the blessing of being kind of right place at the right time, which empowered me to continue down that path of like, what's the path I'm trying to say? That, just believing in myself, really, you know what I mean? I probably wouldn't, if it wasn't for music and shit, I probably wouldn't have found belief in myself, to be honest. I probably would have, like, been, like, you know,
lost soul.
Like, actual factual, I would have been a lost soul. I wouldn't have found pride in anything I do, to be honest. Like, I'm sure there's somewhere along the way I would find, you know, something to get by in life, you know. But I'll keep it a buck. I probably would off myself, you know what I mean, if I didn't have a means of, like, feeling self-worth. And I found self-worth through my contributions to, like, music. So yeah. That, and getting back to how that led me to shit.
Yeah.
I just happened to be, through all of that, you know, even through streetwear and being empowered by folks and shit, all my worth only came from these fringe movements. It didn't come from, like, label, like, big industry heads. It didn't come from, like, you know, like, the coolest kids in the scene. It came from these people that knew what was up, because they knew that even if I didn't have these opportunities, I'd still be doing it. You know what I mean? Like, folks, I think, just over the years, have recognized that I do this shit.
Birds of a feather flock well together.
Exactly, you know? So it's like, I attracted the people that can see the real, you know? It's the way I like to see it. And that's why I, myself, gravitated when I was introduced to, like, trash talk and shit, why I gravitated to their energy. And, you know, I, like, think it was vice versa. You know what I mean? Because even though I was, like, on some rap shit, they knew I was, like, on some, like,
same
punk shit.
Same,
maybe
same,
I'm on the same,
yeah,
on the
yeah,
same wavelength. You know what I mean?
Because
they saw me, like, when I was, like, and I didn't even know I was doing this on some punk shit while I was doing this, but I was, you know, I'd make an album and then I'd make a zine. You know what I mean? Just because.
Do you have zines?
I might have some bullshit.
I thought zines were like a punk thing.
No, for sure, for sure.
But it's not. It is, but
100% is. But I was just, I think I just got to it because a lot of the people that I was gravitated to and kicking around were like genreless people that kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like, weren't strictly like punk kids. Even they just, like, they listen to punk, but they also listen to fucking rap, and they also listen to fucking R&B, you know what I mean? Just, like, all across the board. And so when I kind of linked with my crew, kind of linked with, like, Trash Talk's crew, like, I felt like a lot of the walls that separate, like myself from other people, like, a lot of those walls became kind of see-through, you know? So that's kind of, like, where, like, I found, like, myself just kicking it with folks outside of just, like, rap cats, you know what I mean? Like, and I was always, like, at first I used to think it was on some chameleon shit, but really it was just, like, I was always, like, I like kicking it with shorties that like top 40 here and there, because I thought they was kind of fine here and there. And then I go kick it with some punk kids, and then I go kick it with some fucking emo kids, and then I go kick it with some fucking hippies, because in the Bay I grew up around a bunch of hippies and I, like, understand them here and there type shit. And then, you know, I kick it with some granola white chick or some shit, you know. And then I go back on some, like, hood shit because they be tapped in listening to the same music I listen to, and we're down to ride for each other the way I like to ride for folks. And it's like, that is kind of how I got randomly linked up with a bunch of artists, you know what I mean? Because I think it's really just the same energy, and folks gravitated towards each other, and I just continue to learn and get inspired by that. It was like, it came during a time when simply just paying attention to, like, hip-hop and rap culture wasn't energizing me. So it came, like, at kind of, like, at a perfect time, you know? Mm. Like, I was losing, because the commercialization of hip-hop and rap music, like, it just bummed me out, you know? Because the same way, like, now we can speak about rap and hip-hop as a pop genre thing now at this point, but it wasn't always like that. You know what I mean? Like, folks weren't listening to, like, rap like that at a point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was really, like, you know? And then as it started to get commercialized, I just seen it get all the versions and renditions that were getting known and loved, like, weren't the ones that, like, I actually, like, related to. You know what I mean? It was, like, it was all, like, the aspects that was kind of, like, oh, like, that's the jiggy shit, you know? Like, that's, like, not, like, for the people shit, you know?
Yeah.
So
or even like Bad Bunny now. Like, that music used to be for like the, for a survey, like even when I was a kid, for a very certain type of person.
Of course.
Now it's like, I like hearing white people listen to Bad Bunny, I'm like,
it's crazy.
Like, you're like listening to Spanish music, like, yeah, yeah. Very like, so that's crazy.
And it's like, it's all we can say is it's interesting, right? And it's crazy, it's interesting because you can't dog the trajectory of it. Like, you always want things, everything's supposed to like get bigger and better, and you want as many people to have access. But I think this is a whole other topic, and I'm sure there's better words and a better analogy for it, but I think culture, a big part of various cultures that needs to be preserved, is the sacred aspect of them. And people don't like handle their participation within the culture as like a, like with any sacredness to it, you know? So like, when it comes to like, there's white people listening to Bad Bunny and shit, like, this is music that like is really like emotional music for a particular like subgroup of people, but they kind of are just like consuming it as if it's not that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like water.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's just drinking water. It's like, oh yeah, I put Bad Bunny in the background. It's like, when this music at a certain time was like that type of reggaeton, or like it was like Mexican, or like, you know, Salvadoran, Central Americans, like Latinos in general, were like we fuck with like this, like we fuck with like what black people do to hip hop, you know, with like, you know, like this bomb, like
what brought the people out. Yeah,
yeah, but we want to do this in Spanish. You uh-huh. know what I mean? Like, we want to get lit,
of course,
with like some like modernization, yeah. like where like the kids can like move their ass. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, you know,
people, but like, and folks can talk they shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like over, be cocky.
It's in a language that
it's our language, yeah, and now it's exactly. like. And don't get me wrong. It's like, does Bad Bunny enjoy the fame? Does he want that? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, we're not like, as a fan, you could only, you know what I mean? You feel like this is yours, but it's the artist. But I'm like, but I mean, in the long run, like, for example, I don't know if you heard that artist Peso Pluma. He's like, he's listening to sounds like normal Mexican music, probably to the average consumer. But like, he like was the first dude to like perform Mexican music in the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week.
Crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy's like number 84 artist, and it's like Bad Bunny.
Is it like traditional Mexican music?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it, in reality, it, like, they're like turnstile of like Mexican music, where it's like, in reality, it's really accessible.
Yes,
but. But it's like I still can listen to the like narc corridos, you know what I mean, like in it, which is not that far from it. Yeah. Like, Turnstile's not so far from like Leeway.
Of course.
And with that being said, it's like, for him to like, I'm like, okay, this needs to be like big. Mm-hmm. Like, Mexicans cannot just be big in their own world. Mm-hmm. Like Mexican movies, Mexican music, like, it's like, yes, like the fifth generation Mexican kid could find like something that's going to be like, yo, brown pride.
Yeah.
But it's like real Mexican shit from Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm like, that need, like, that's not up there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Mexican movies.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows like Danny Trejo and fucking yeah. like the guy who plays the cello like all the time, but it's like nobody knows like real Mexican artists. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
not like the same people listen to Fuerza Regida, Banda MS, they're like, mm-hmm. and fools want to be like Chalino, like, and the only thing they know about, and like La Chona from Los Tucanes, that's the only shit they know. But it's like real Mexican shit that's popular amongst Mexicans, mm-hmm. has never popped off outside.
Yeah.
And now it's cool that I'm like, yo, like, sure, like, there's, it's probably gonna happen to the same thing as Bad Bunny, where white people are gonna be listening to like, but it's like, it has to happen. The Mexicans gotta be up, you know what I mean? Like
all I ask of the world is that there's just the slightest tick of
consciousness
of a pause before consuming it,
yeah.
being like, what is this? Because that's like me buying, that's like.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You bought, like, your girl buying a kimono, you know what I mean? Because it's cute, you know what I mean? And she sees some Japanese geisha or something in a kimono, and then you would, like, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like us getting braids, or, you know what I mean? Because the shit look cool on a basketball player.
Yeah.
And it's not far from that, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, like obviously those are extreme examples, but that's why I just ask for the world to do that slightest brief pause before consuming it so, like, aimlessly, kind of, you know? And I think that pause, like, it's not even a duration of time as much as, like you said, subconscious, like, consciously, like, understanding what shit is, you know? And, but that's the sad part. I don't think educating yourself is a part of people don't want that to be a part of their day because everything's supposed to be convenient. So if you can't be educated within a brief TikTok video or like a 30-second blip or a 140-character tweet, like, if your education requires you doing a deep dive of who's this, what's Gloom is, like, what is this, like, oh shit, I gotta ask someone, they don't even, this information ain't even online, I gotta go ask this person, people don't want to do that research anymore. So
it goes to the very basic human thing, which is humans love pleasure.
Yeah.
And if, you know what I mean? They just want pleasure. They don't give it like
pleasure, like all the death.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, deep down humans, the average human, their goal is to like just sit down, not work, and have money and enjoy life. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, but not, you know, it's like, nah, you gotta enjoy like working hard for some shit.
Yeah.
To some extent. You know, I'm not saying work, this is a balance, don't work your ass off like a machine, but, you know, like working for stuff you love, and it's a beautiful thing. All right, but closing to wrapping this up.
Yeah.
You're 35.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what you want, you know exactly what your fame is, which is not literal fame,
mm-hmm.
or it is, well, whatever, you know what I mean? Bias. What's next? Do you think you ever like live the typical suburban life your parents did? What are you gonna subscribe? Like, cause you're so deep in this like art world,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool.
Yeah.
But do you think you could ever like have a balance and like tomorrow you're gonna have a kid and like get wifed up? You know what I mean? Like,
I think absolutely all of that shit is it's available, but I am like. I mean, I have a chick, you know.
Oh,
I mean, I have a girl, and we've been together for a few years, and luckily, I support myself off my music, you know what I mean? Like, I don't receive handouts from nothing, you know what I mean? Given the opportunities have allowed me to create the life I have, you know, and those opportunities came from various circumstances that some were well off and some were, you know, right place at the right... I attribute a lot of my life to right place at the right time, to be honest. But with all of that said, like, I am strictly... like committed to, I just call it the artist life, you know what I mean? Like, I am energized by the purpose of trying to unearth what regular life can't unearth out of me, you know what I mean? Just like waking up and going to the market and like these so brief, like trivial social interactions, those don't unearth things out of me. Participating in music and art and culture, that's where things are unearthed out of me. Like, I'm actually able to excavate the things that I won't, regular society won't even let me think about, because it won't let me think about it because they'll have me paying attention, distracted by celebrity shit, consumer shit,
the news
cycle, fear, panic. That's what society has me distracted by. But when I am disciplined with music culture and shit, I am tapped into this shit that, you know, again, excavates what's actually going on in my body and soul. So that's what I'm indebted to. So like, what the future looks like for me is further sharpening the sword of like staying like in the gravitational pull of my craft, you know, like not taking it for granted. And so for me, what that looks like, I show up to my studio every day and I make as many beats as I can and I make as much music as I can. And because that's what I do, like it's literally a sin.
So you want to do,
that's what I want to do. And for, you know, I do it. What's been a cool aspect of that we haven't really touched on is like a lot of that has been as a music producer, and that allows me to like allow other artists to get unearth their visions and they you know pain and you know suffering out, because I create opportunity by creating a sound, like, you know, a sound which is basically just, you know, giving some color, you know, for some artists to like tap into what they need to tap into. So, you know, for me, my life at this point moving forward is literally just staying committed to the craft of music and artists, because it allows me to tap into myself and it allows me to be of service to the world and community around me, you know? So it's really just like a full circle thing. And in the process of that, folks is going to continue to make moves to make it bigger and better, because just by making it bigger and better, I can provide, you know, opportunity for success. To me, is like, how many people can I bless, you know? Like, whether that be financially, just off some energy shit. Like, I just want, and if it isn't financially, it's because I'm in a good headspace, and this puts me in a good headspace to potentially bless people. So I just stay doing this music shit.
Yeah. I'm still in the, like, I'm still in this part where I'm like, am I ready to like leave the normal world? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm already kind of deep into this, like, you know, like, where, like, you know, shit that other people don't, you know what I mean? Like, you like know, you know what I mean? You start seeing the world different, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, it's all in the mental, you know what I mean? Like, there's like art, like punk, hardcore rap, like art, like just art world. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, like, and I'm like almost all the way into this art world. I'm like, and right now, I mean, it's not good or bad, it's just like how I feel. Like, I'm like, damn, like, I'm leaving this world behind. Like, this, like, normal world, it's like, like, I'm more, like, it's like, I'm more confident, I'm more smarter, I know, and like, I know who I am. It's like, just continue living my life through this other world. And it's like, oh, shit, here it goes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm leaving this normal world. Because don't get me wrong, like, I'm blessed.
Yeah, that's exciting shit.
Yeah.
Exciting shit. You're very blessed. That's tight.
Yeah.
And it's cool you got that. You know, you young, like, you tapped in, like, at a perfect time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, the regular society, like, what you're supposed to be doing right now, quote-unquote, supposed to be doing, is only focusing on a career that you could do for the next 30 years of your life, you know? Which is kind of what you always doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it's not traditional,
yeah.
You know? So you right on time, actually, but, you know, other folks at this point is, they just like, you know, they on the next grade of regular the curriculum, you know? The curriculum still, they're still following the regular school curriculum of like, at this point, make some money, get you a crib, and then get you a family, get you a kid, get fat, die, you know? Like, you get to do all that, but like, along the way, like,
you just have more fun. Interesting. You have more flavor. You have
fun.
Yeah.
It's you get. Like, that's the, like, have some fun and, like, share it with other people and, like, you know, and live with a little bit of edge to you. You know what I mean?
Learn to be a good person. Like, what it actually means to get burps and not like societal, like, hello, yeah, oh yeah, oh my god, you know, it's like, no, like, what's up, like, who are you, like, 100%. What do you do, you know what I mean, like, let's, like, I'll be your best friend for the day, you know what I mean, type shit, you know what
yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah, it's less transactional, it's more, you more tapped into, your intention is rooted in, like, you're not seeking reward.
Profit, yeah.
You're not seeking reward, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people I've learned in life, like, just do profit, but I'm like, for what?
Exactly.
It's like, at some point, it's like, what, like you're getting to the, like, in your head, I'm gonna get to the next, like, level. I'm like, what's the next level for?
Yeah.
To what? And it's like, but yeah. All right, exactly. We're gonna wrap this up here.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Bless.
Let's go.